The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm with business on all the major continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. We turn immediately to something that I quietly have noticed because it is a quiet success. This is the Buckeye State, Ohio. I lived there for 3 years when I was a young person, and Chris Riegel lives there now. And what is surprising is the number of Ohio politicians now in the news or about to be. For example, J.D. Vance, the newly elected vice president of the United States of America, formerly a senator, a freshman senator from Ohio. The seat held by Mr. Vance is opening up now, and I learned from reporting that Governor DeWine, who is a boomer, my age group, is looking at three names who are prominent in the state government: Lieutenant Governor John Husted, Attorney General Dave Yost, and Secretary of State Frank LaRose, for the appointment. Bernie Marino, the newly elected senator from Ohio, also will join in the Buckeyes in Washington. Chris, this is to celebrate. I see, of course, that Ohio is a modest and very careful about its successes. I remember that from my childhood. And the middle of America has always been humble about its success. It is the strength of every election, but it's been the strength of America since the territories were open, once upon a time called the Northwest, before we expanded all the way to California. Right now, is there one explanation why all of a sudden not only is Ohio in the news, but Gen X Ohio is in the news? Is it talked about back home, Chris? Good day to you.
Good day, John. Ohio is really such a microcosm of the American experiment, especially in the last 20 years, where you've seen, as with Mr. Vance, the impacts of globalization. You've seen the ravages of the fentanyl and the drug crisis. Ohio is a great example of what's happening in America. You've also seen Ohio in the last 20 years turn from what was a solidly blue state to a purple state, now to a solidly red state. I think you're seeing from Ohio this great deep bench, including Mr. Ramaswamy, coming from Ohio, of people that have been engaged in politics at the local and state levels and now seek to grow to the federal level, not unlike a number of presidents coming from Ohio previously in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So you're seeing, again, the rise of Ohio's political influence as a core manufacturing, now tech, and industrial state.
Yes, Chris reminds me that once upon a time in American electoral politics, it was said by the Republican Party, you must win Ohio to win the White House. Must. There was no way around it. And perhaps now we've come full circle. You win Ohio by being a candidate for the Republican Party. Of the three names, Husted, Yost, and LaRose, being entertained for the Senate chair, it's an appointed role until the re-election in 26. Is there a favorite, or is there buzz in any direction? Mr. DeWine is stepping down from the governorship, so any one of these three men can wait and run for governor as well as be a senator in 26. Is there a favorite right now, Chris?
John, I would say all three are very strong candidates, all three very solid accomplishments for the state. So not a bad pick of any of the three. And the thing that you see in Ohio is this continuing growth of a very deep bench of seasoned politicians that are able to get things done. And as you've said, the passing of the political torch now from the boomer generation to the Gen X generation, it is time for Gen X to take those roles and to get things done, which is desperately needed in this country.
To be a little more particular, to learn my Ohio map, which I didn't do when I was 10 and 11 and 12 years old when I lived there, the men that I mentioned plus Ramaswamy, are they from different parts of the state? You're from Dayton. I know where that is, and I know where Cleveland is, and I certainly know where Cincinnati is because I live there. Where are these men from in the state?
Generally, these men are from the Southwest, but some from the Northeast, so Cleveland. Think of Ohio as the three C's corridor, Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland, and the power base being lower left or upper right, commonly within the state.
And is there a generality about being an Ohio politician, or Republican does it, and no more modifiers are necessary?
John, I think Ohio values are very Midwestern, no nonsense, and you're seeing the growth in Ohio of a movement to not suffer fools. People want results. They're tired of inaction in D.C. They're tired of seeing Ohio's ground zero for the wasting away of the industrial base of this country, and people have had enough, and now you're seeing that translate into votes, and you're seeing that translate into candidates.
Which brings us to the election and inflation. I read suddenly in the columns being written by the loyal opposition that it is still not entirely embraced that inflation was a factor in the voting booth. It's slightly stunning to read again and again that Bidenomics was not appreciated, that the job growth makes up for inflation. To your measure, has inflation ebbed? We had a report, a CPI report yesterday, that indicated that we might have bottomed for the moment. What is it like in the part of America that's been in recession out there? Is there relief after the election?
John, there's not relief, but there is now hope. And that hope is to look towards better policies and maybe long-term slaying this inflation dragon. But I think the population also knows there'll be some pain between now and then to get that under control.
The inflation is especially hard on the franchises, and that's something you know very well because you see how franchises are doing. There have been reports of closing sometimes because city centers have become unsafe. Is there a bottoming in the franchise closing, or is that still going to continue, Chris, as people pull back from their expendable cash because of inflation and as franchises cannot afford the mandated raise in minimum wage?
John, you'll see it vary in different states. In states like California that now have, at the state level, close to open warfare against small business and the franchise businesses, you'll continue to see steep declines there. You will see for the next 1 to 1.5 years challenges with consumer liquidity. The consumers are maxed in debt with credit card debt. But with the hopeful Trump restarting of this economy, as the economy grows, as Americans, we can grow out of this problem. And that growth out of the problem is better wages, better jobs, economic expansion. So for the first time in 4 years, we see light at the end of the tunnel.
You have businesses overseas as well. And I listened to the FT.com headlines and articles in the morning. The FT copywriters are still stuck on November 4th. They haven't quite accepted the conditions necessary to understand a Trump second term. However, there is envy creeping into the paragraphs and op-ed pieces about the American economy growing much faster and that Europe needs to attach itself to whatever the Americans are doing. And then I saw an article saying Britain could very much enjoy a bilateral deal with Mr. Trump if and when Keir Starmer stands aside. Let's separate the EU, the mainland, from Britain. Do you see the possibility that the European Union is going to stop being Mother May I and turn into a growth dynamic?
John, I would say that's relatively impossible. The Europeans are amazingly envious of growth because in their bureaucratic morass, which is the EU, growth is not possible. They pull each other back into the boiling pot of economic decline. I think the thing that you can certainly see is the UK was very smart at getting out of the EU, and you're seeing that opportunity for growth there if Mr. Stormer does not destroy that. But globally, there's the opportunity for the U.S. to restart and refire the economy and be the envy of the world. The Europeans will cast aspersions and tell us why we can't do it, to which the proper American response would simply be, hold my beer.
And China, the tariffs that Mr. Trump put into place were largely capped by Mr. Biden. So there's no sharp distinction ahead. This is what tariffs look like. Your measure of China, there's talk in the FT about retaliation, but that economy is on its knees. Does retaliation sound credible?
John, I think the Chinese are in a very tough spot where they cannot go to a full open trade war. So with Mr. Trump's negotiating skills, the hope would be the threat of substantial tariffs, the threat of substantial challenge in importing Chinese goods to the U.S. economy is the lever needed to reset some of the trade conditions that are adversarial and disadvantageous to U.S. businesses. Now might be the best time in a generation to negotiate a deal because the Chinese are on their knees.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.